Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope your week is off to a great start already. And we're going to try to make it better with a fun trip report. We're headed out to North Carolina, speaking with listener Rachel about a couple of trips she's taken since the parks reopened last summer. We talk about a trip in August with her family. She had two teen kids and her husband in tow, and they were having a great time over at Pop Century. Went to all four parks, drove down. Great stories there, especially about how her son decided to sleep in the room. I love this. Also, we talk about a fun trip she took in December, the first week of December, staying at Caribbean Beach with three of her friends. So four ladies down to Walt Disney World for some fun holiday traveling. And two of the ladies had not been to Walt Disney World before. So get their thoughts as well. Don't forget today's show, always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Please book your next trip with the great folks over at the Magic for Less. It really does help support the show. And it helps keep everything going. So if you wouldn't mind, just visit themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials. And while you're there, fill out that quote form. Mention the Be Our Guest podcast. And you and I are going to be working together on that amazing trip. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link. Anytime you do that online shopping, it's one click extra and it's a free way to support the show. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, for a little extra content in your week, just go over to patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast and check out Mike in the Midwest.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1831 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And of course, one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you are settling in to 2021. That's right. You got to remember, write that on your checks. No, that just shows I'm old. Nobody writes checks anymore. But you know what? It's just great to not be saying 2020. I know 2021 hasn't magically changed everything, right? But it's still a new year. We're 11 days in, and we're going to make this year awesome. We're just going to make progress and just let this year unfold and be good to each other and talk about the great times. Because believe it or not, there were still some good times in 2020. When we look back in 10 years, it'll be like nobody had it. There was not a smile to be had in 2020. Not the case. And we're going to talk about some of those good times today. We're heading out to North Carolina with listener Rachel. Rachel, happy new year, even though it's a few days late. How you doing?
Thank you. Doing well.
So let's jump in here and make this year awesome by talking about a trip report. And like I said, in the open there, you know, 2020 was a lot of doom and gloom, but you know, some of us got to travel down to Walt Disney World. And you know what I think, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I look at it in maybe 10 years, maybe a decade out. God help us. I hope this is the case. If we look back to 2020 and say, wow, I'm glad I got to go to Walt Disney World and it was different. It wasn't the place that I'm used to, but I'm glad I had that experience because it was just a different way to vacation, to see the park. So real quick, before we jump into these two trips that you've taken post reopening, what do you think you're going to reflect on in 2020 as far as Disney?
Oh, it's hands down. When I think of 2020, I'm going to think of Walt Disney World. I very fortunately got to go three times this year, January, August, and December. And I feel like this is the year my obsession grew and my love grew. And I think it's because you could let yourself get in that down in the dumps, COVID, you know, sad place. But Disney, you listen to the podcasts, you watch the videos, you follow on Instagram, and it's immediate happiness.
And it's good to have something like that, right? I mean, you know, I know that having the podcast for me has been, you know, very therapeutic, because when you start talking about and you really get in the weeds, like, okay, do you want to stay at Caribbean Beach or the Riviera or Coronado, you know, talk about the pros and cons. I mean, that's a great escapism rather than looking at the news and hearing about, you know, this is working, this is not working, this is the bad news. It has been great. So I was very thankful that we got to rally together as a podcast community in 2020. It kept me semi-sane. So I appreciate each and everybody who hung with us for the year. But let's hop in and talk about your perspective on things and why you're such a Disney fan, because you said the bug really bit you in 2020, but you have a long background. So give us your backstory when it comes to Disney.
I know I went for the first time when I was three because I found a picture recently with the date on it. So I was like, oh, I was there for the first time at three. And then I think as a family, it was my sister and I and our parents. And we probably went, I don't know, maybe every 4 years. And then it's like you had the big gap between when I started college and had kids of my own where we didn't go much. And then once I had kids, my parents really wanted to take them. Unfortunately, my mom was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And so we thought, we can't put this off. If we're going to go, let's go. So when my kids were 4 and 6, we went with my parents and my husband and my sister. And it was amazing. And I know people always say, oh, they're not going to remember it at 4 and 6. But if you could see the pictures of my mom's face watching my kids, awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So that kind of sealed the deal for me. And unfortunately, both my parents passed away the next year. And we, since then, I feel like it's my way to connect to them. You know, it's that nostalgia. It's feeling closer to them. And so we've taken my in-laws. We've gone as an immediate family. We've gone just a girls' trip with my sister and my daughter and I. And every time we go, I kind of, it's just, you know, that sense of being home and being with the people you love.
You know what? And I think that's kind of one of the lessons that 2020 taught us. Not that we didn't know these things prior to COVID happening, you know, in early 2020, but, you know, and again, it sounds like this is self-serving, but the thing is, I really don't want to put off experiences anymore. You know, like I was having dinner. My wife's not home at the moment. And before the podcast, Mallory and I were sharing Taco Bell and, you know, we're talking around the table.
I'm shocked.
I know.
I'm
serious.
Shocked.
I mean, it's like, we're having dinner. What do you want from Taco Bell? Get a cheese roll up. And thanks to Jennifer, who's in the live chat, who gave me a nice Taco Bell gift card for Christmas. Hey, thank you. Help for dinner. But anyway, we're talking about it and she's like, I really, really, really want to go to Disneyland this, you know, as soon as this thing's all over. And I'm like, you're right. Like I kept saying, and you've heard me on the podcast, you know, I've never been to Disneyland. I've been saying for the last 7-8 years, like, oh yeah, we'll go out there, you know, to some year, like in between APs, you know, cause we have annual passes at Walt Disney World. So we don't have to pay for tickets. I don't want to buy tickets. We're going, like, I don't want to miss out on that. I'll, you know, when I get an opportunity, I don't want to say, yeah, but you know, we'll do it in 3 or 4 years. And I think you made a great point. It's that, not only it's the chance to get out there and have these experiences, but it's the people you travel with. It's getting to make those bonding moments and get to see, you know, when you see like a parent's face or a child's face or even just a friend that you've taken for the first. I've gone there with a lot of friends that have no idea what Walt Disney World's all about. And like when I see them, you know, I'll see like an adult like me, you know, and we went with some friends. He was a police officer and the wife taught with us at school. And, you know, like we were riding, I think, Rock and Roller Coaster. And like this guy's, you know, he's a police officer back here in St. Louis. You know, he's got to be tough to get his job done. And he's on Rock and Roller Coaster like he's an 8-year-old boy, you know. And it's like, I can't believe it. I've never seen him like that. And I think that's the point that you kind of made is that, you know, when you go with these people that you love and just, you know, friends and so forth, it is so cool. It's such a unique opportunity to make these great memories.
It really is.
Awesome. All right. So let us talk about your two trips. So you took two trips since reopening, like I said, and you went down in August first. That's when I went down with Mallory, first week of August. So tell us about that trip, just kind of, and we'll dive into some of the particulars. But when did you go down? Who was with you and all that stuff?
We did. It was the first week of August, or maybe the second. I think we got there right when you left. And it was funny because I had discovered your podcast shortly after COVID. And I just love talking about it. And then once the YouTube videos came out when the park reopened and I was hooked, and then you guys started talking about it and you kept saying, I'm getting the bug. And I was the same way. And unfortunately, my husband and my teenage son are not obsessed with Disney like my daughter and I are. But I positioned it one night and I said, look, the things you guys hate most, crowds, when I make you go to shows, and lines, none of those are happening.
Winner.
And so they agreed. And, you know, I said, it's perfectly safe. Look at all these videos. There's nobody there, you know. And so we did it. I mean, we probably planned it and went all within maybe a month time span, maybe even less. And it was amazing. I think the biggest tip that I would give to people when you take someone who isn't as much of a fan or a teenage son, you kind of have to almost treat him like a toddler. We let him go back to the room every afternoon.
No, wait, whoa, whoa. You're saying you would let a toddler go back to the room? No, just kidding. I'm just messing with, yeah, who cares?
Instead of carrying them back, he took himself back.
You just got to point to that bus. Like, that's the bus you get on, and it's, you know, you'll find your way to the room.
Yeah, so he kind of, you know, he'd get up early. He was a trooper. He went to everything. And then it was like right after lunch, he'd kind of say, peace out. He'd go back to the room. And that's when we would do, you know, Peter Pan and things that he didn't quite have an interest in. And then he'd come back in time for dinner like a new person. And it was great. And I kind of set it up telling myself he doesn't love it like you do. And that's okay. You know?
Well, and imagine that the teenage son would come back in time to eat. I remember those days.
Shocker. Yeah,
exactly. Where are we eating? Okay. I'll see you at 5. Yeah. That's cool. And you make a great point. And it's still that case right now is that, you know, for us that have been doing this for quite a while, like there's a lot of planning that goes into it under normal circumstances. You're laying out your fast passes. You're laying out, you know, the perfect ADR strategy. You're looking at extra magic hours. Do I want to be, you know, at the studios till midnight because they have extra magic hours at night? But then the next morning, this park has morning extra. We don't have a lot of those things, which is, it's a bummer in a lot of ways. But also once you get down in the shortened park hours, they were fine with me because we got so much done and I wasn't so dog tired like I am normal times.
Right, right. Well, and I laughed at all the people saying, well, you know, what are you doing when it closes so early? I'm like you. I'm an early bird. I'm a rope dropper. So no matter what time we got back to the room, whether it was 7 or 10, I was in my pajamas or in bed. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I was done. You know, we got our fill.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, it was weird, you know, just going to parks like at 10 o'clock rope drop, 11 o'clock rope drop at Epcot. I was like, this is, I mean, really it was like being in an alternate universe just because I'd been trained that, you know, rope dropping's good. But I mean, you're also, for me to get up and run and stuff, that's like a 4:30 or 5 o'clock, you know, get up time. And I was able to get up like at 6:30, get my run in and still have breakfast and go to Epcot and be at the rope drop. I was like, this is all wrong. I gave it, but it was fine. So now you guys stayed at Pop Century in August. So talk to us about your memories. You went to all four parks. So what are some of the things you think back on now, you know, 4 or 5 months removed?
I will say the masks were not that bad. Everybody still asks about that. And it was hot. I mean, August was super hot. But I think you just, there's no choice. So you sucked it up, you did it, and it wasn't terrible. I will say Pop, I would not stay there again with 2 adults and 2 teens. We were pretty cramped. And I did love, you know, all the storage space and Pop and all of that. But it was funny. I had told my teenage son, I said, now, look, you can sleep with Dad, with Mom, with your sister, or a camping mat. What do you think he chose?
The mat. I'd sleep on the floor.
Absolutely.
I'd probably sleep in the bathtub. I mean, it wouldn't matter.
That's what I was going to say. You know, there's no room on the floor in Pop. So literally slid his bath mat under the pull-down bed, and that's where he slept.
I would have done the same thing. Oh, I get it. I mean, it's not perfect, but yeah, I sympathize.
Yeah. So that part was pretty funny. But we just made some good memories laughing together. You know, at that point it was August, so we had been home together since March, all the time. But even all being at home together, we weren't together. Everybody went to their own little quarters of the house and got on their screens and their TVs. And I felt like this really forced us for that F3, forced family fun. it gave us that chance to just be together and really make some good memories and laughing and just enjoying, no stress.
Yeah. And I'll say the one thing I remember, you know, because I just went down with Mallory, right? We had always talked about going down just a daddy-daughter trip. And, you know, I go down for the race weekends by myself. I took Paige a bunch of times, just Paige and I back in the day. But Mallory's always had like competitive cheerleading where they can't miss. And, you know, all these schedules, we just moved. She won't miss school. So we had never done it. And I was like, for one thing, I think, and you probably thought the same way, is that, you know, in August, I just want to get out of the house and be able to, you know, be outside and actually do something. And I mean, like, just having like a counter service meal at Walt Disney World was like a godsend, you know, like instead of eating around the kitchen table, which nothing wrong with that. But, you know, that's all we had done for like 5 months. You know, I was just like, it was just glorious to see the outside world and see other people.
It truly was. And it was, you know, we hadn't gone out to eat or done anything like that in North Carolina. But you got there, and when you saw how safe everything was, I mean, I remember one night we ate at, I don't know if I say it right, is it Via Napoli or Via Napoli?
Via Napoli, I think. I mean, you're asking a guy from St. Louis to say an Italian word. That's how I hear it. I don't know.
I know. But we, I mean, we truly could have been the only ones in that restaurant. That's how far out they had us spread. So we felt safe the whole time, and it was great to feel normal again.
And now you guys drove down from North Carolina. So how is that for folks that are kind of in that mid-Atlantic, you know, striking distance there for a drive?
It's not bad. I think it was 8 or 9 hours for us. And when I went with the family, we did the whole thing, you know, no stopping. But my most recent trip in December, I drove by myself. So I stopped in Savannah and spent the night there, but it was perfect because then I could get up bright and early the next day, and I was in Walt Disney World by 10:30 that morning.
Oh my gosh. When we used to drive all the time from St. Louis, because I was scared to death to fly. I love flying now. I was such a dummy. Because, I mean, I love it. Like, I get my window. I pay extra just so I get my perfect seat on the plane. I take video of every takeoff. I take video of every landing. I take pictures the whole time of the clouds and all the geography. I'm like, I think we're over Nashville. I think we're over Atlanta. You know, I love this. I don't, my brain just doesn't work right. But back when we used to drive, I used to always say that, okay, we're going to do what you just said. We're going to make it to, my goal was always Valdosta, Georgia. We're going to make it to Valdosta. We're going to stop for the night. We're going to get a good night's rest. And then we're going to drive the rest of the way, like three and a half hours to Walt Disney World in the morning. I never had the discipline to stop. I'm like, we're just chugging on. We're going right into Orlando, no matter what time it was. So good on you for making the stop. And you're probably more refreshed and enjoyed the next day because I was always just wiped out anyway. But I wanted to get there.
I was. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So the drive, though, you would say is, I mean, if somebody's in that area, it wasn't painful. I mean, it was something that you would do again.
No, you're going to laugh, but I kind of stockpiled my Be Our Guest podcast. So I'd have enough to keep me entertained on the way down. I'd be like, nope, don't listen to that one yet. That's for the drive. but it went so fast. I mean, literally, that's all I did was I listened to my podcast, made a few phone calls, and it was a quick trip. And I also love having my car down there with me. It worked out very well on both trips to drive to a couple of the parks, and I loved being able to do that.
Okay, so tell us about that, because I get a lot of questions actually at the travel agency about, you know, car pros and cons, right? Because, and I always tell folks, you know, you don't want to drive to the Magic Kingdom because that's a hassle. You got to deal with the TTC, you got to catch a monorail ferry over. You don't want to do that, but I will say, here's the best part. I'm usually down at the same time as my buddy Scott and his family. Scott always rents a car. I never rent a car because I'm a cheapskate, right? I get on Magical Express, boom, I'm over there free. They pick me up. It's like, I don't have to worry about anything. Scott has a car, though, and that's the best of both worlds. Because, like, if we want to go, say, from, for example, we did the Give Kids the World thing in December, and he came over to the event, we did the show, and he's like, boom, I got us at 8, because it was like 9:30 at night. He's like, I got us the last ADR at Trattoria Al Forno on the boardwalk. I'm like, yes, we're having chicken parm tonight at 9:30. He had a rental car. Boom, we're over there. You know, we didn't have to deal with any kind of transportation, Uber, anything like that. So how does it work out for you? Because I typically don't have one, and I'm fine using Disney transportation, but it is a lot quicker. And you get to do whatever you want, whenever you want with your car.
You really do. And I, you know, the trip I took with my family, for example, one of the nights we went to Disney Springs, and we had my son drop us off because, shocker, he did not want to go shopping at Disney Springs. So he went back home, and we stayed till almost closing. Well, back in August, there were so few people there, but there were also so few resorts open. So when we went to the bus lot, Pop Century's line was out of control because that's where everyone was going. So we called my son, he came back and picked us up, and it was glorious because you're just so ready to be home. And it was nice to, you know, avoid that. And then when I was there recently, we drove to Animal Kingdom, and it wasn't inconvenient for a bus, but sometimes you do have to wait quite a bit if you're not going at the popular hours. So we drove there and drove back, and then I did drive to, that's a whole nother topic, but I had two like solo days where I resort hopped, and that was so fun. And just having my car and being able to hop in between and check out the Christmas decorations, I loved it.
That's when you're going from resort to resort, that's when you really can benefit from having a car or using like an Uber, a Lyft, something like that, because obviously If you're relying on Disney transportation, you got to go to Disney Springs. You got to go to a nearby theme park. That's just a pain in the butt. So yeah.
Yeah.
Good point there. Okay. So let's talk about the recent trip. You guys were down late November, early December. So where'd you stay for that one? Kind of how did that trip all come together?
That one came about because I came home in August and was bragging about how wonderful it was. And one of my girlfriends who has never been said, I want to go and I want you to go with me. Show me the ropes. So we got four of us together. We all went to high school together. And one had been, but it was long, long ago. And the other two had never been. So it was a lot of pressure on my shoulders, but it was so fun setting it up. But I truly had to manage my expectations because I knew they weren't going to be the rope droppers. I knew they weren't going to be hustling from ride to ride, you know. And so I just kind of set myself up as this is going to be more relaxing. We'll hit the most important stuff. And, you know, originally we went into it thinking, oh, you know, grand flow or, you know, now's the time. It's just me. I can spend more money. And then you start really looking at it and you're like, no.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you have the kind of the Disney trip planning stage is like your dream stage. Yeah, we're staying at the Grand. We're staying at the Contemporary theme park. Then it's like, Pop Century doesn't look so bad again.
Yeah. But we worked with Jocelyn Martins and she was awesome. And she kind of sent me, I said, if we want to stick to around $1,000 a piece for the whole trip, what can we do? And she sent me, we could do Art of Animation, Caribbean Beach, Fort Wilderness Cabins, or Old Key West, but Old Key West was more in the $1,500 range. And then when I kind of looked at the pros and cons, if we got two adjoining rooms at Caribbean Beach, we each got our own bed and we had one bathroom for two of us. Mm-hmm. We had more room to hang out. We had the Skyliner. It was kind of really evident once I started listing all the pros and cons, and it worked out great. It really did.
Yeah, when I was thinking about those four choices, that's what I would have gone with. As much as I love Old Key West, the two rooms gives you the space, right?
And yeah.
If you're not a family, it's awkward, you know, kind of. Even if you're good friends, it's just weird to be in a real tight quarters with four people. That's just
absolutely, yeah.
So what'd you think of Caribbean Beach? That's where I stayed too, about the exact same time you were there.
I love it. That was the second time we've stayed there, and it's homey. You know, it's not the glitz and glamour of, you know, the Riviera or anything, but it's comfortable. It's homey. It's the Skyliner makes it great. I love the food choices. I really liked it. I really did. And I think the hardest part is finding your room to start with.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. I just remember one time at Riverside, I like never found my room because it was an Alligator Bayou. And I'm like, I swore to my wife, I'm like, this was before I worked in travel. I had the podcast though. It was kind of scary. And I'm like, I promise you, we will find this room. We will find this building number. I'm looking at the map. I'm like, yes, we're here. Yeah, it's sad. Some of those suckers are big.
Okay. Yes.
Let me ask you this too. So you said you had two friends who had never been. I think that's curious that especially the one friend that really reached out and really wanted to go for the first time, that she really wanted to go during this time, like during a pandemic, during where everything is so topsy-turvy. So kind of how did you approach that for those two people who had never been to kind of get them prepared for what they were getting themselves into?
I did warn them about a lot of things being closed, a lot of options, you know, especially for dining, we're going to be less. And the shows, I said, when you come back, you're really going to want to do those. But the friend who originally suggested it, she has a teenager with autism. And she said, I really want to go alone for the first time to kind of see what he would be able to do, what he won't be able to do. And it was great. She kind of got a good grasp, you know, even things like A Bug's Life. She said, we would have gone on that and I wouldn't have thought twice. She said, he will hate that. He'll absolutely hate that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, that's such a great idea. Now, I know not everybody's going to have the opportunity to do something like that, almost like a preview trip. But God, if everybody could that has, you know, children that might have, you know, concerns that you don't think about. This is like for her, it's basically like a scouting trip. And I mean, that is going to, you can read all the books and read all the blogs and watch the vlogs on YouTube and stuff. But there's nothing, like you said, like there's nothing like seeing Bug's Life and experiencing it, like when the bug comes to get you out of the chair. I mean, that freaks me out. That's really going to get, you know, some kid that's not expecting it.
Right. Whoops. Sorry.
No, no worries. We'll keep going. Okay. So what do you think they thought though, kind of on the, on the back end of the trip for the first timers? I mean, did they say, well, I wish, I mean, or is it a case of if you don't know, you don't know, like you don't even realize it because you don't have perspective?
The biggest thing they did keep saying was, they kept saying it's going to be so different the next time we come because Rachel's not going to be with us. Yeah. We won't know all the ins and outs. And they did say, you know, I can definitely see how this crowd level is so much more manageable right now. And they were like, I know it's not going to be like that later. So they, you know, I do think they understood that. But all the little things that Jocelyn and I had figured out of how to get to the parks each morning and the quickest way there and, you know, riding all these things before the crowds came, it, you know, you really do have to kind of either talk it through with an agent or have been before to kind of know a lot of that. So I think that, you know, that helped a lot.
Right. Okay. Let's jump into some of those memories you made in the theme parks, because, you know, with first timers and with dear friends, that's a great opportunity. So you guys went to each park one day. So what stood out, like when you kind of reflected on it, got home, all talked to each other, what were some of your favorite moments and what did you hear from your friends?
We talked about it the last night at dinner, and Animal Kingdom was our first day. And one of their favorite things was, is it, I don't know the official name of it, but the flight of the macaw birds.
Oh, the, you mean the birds, the real birds that you watch by the Tree of Life?
Yes.
Yeah. Those
yes.
things are amazing. Like those are real people.
Yes. And that's what they said. They said, I think I liked it so much because it was so unexpected. Right. I knew it was going to happen. And so I kept saying, just hang here, just hang. I promise. And they were all just in awe at that. So that was really cool. And of course they loved the classics like Everest and Flight of Passage. And, you know, I can't ride Flight of Passage because I get very motion sick, but I went on it anyway and just closed my eyes the whole time because I wanted to hear them.
That's a good idea. You know, I don't ride it either. So I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Yes. And then the other highlight of Animal Kingdom was drinks at Nomad Lounge sitting out on the deck. That was, it was wonderful. I was so glad we fit that in.
Yes. If you're going with friends, that is a requirement. That deck and those sofas looking out over the river there. Oh, it's perfect.
Yes, that was great. And it was hard because they were very slow moving on that first Animal Kingdom day. It opened at 9, closed at 5. We didn't stroll in there until 11 a.m. It was taking everything in me to kind of just take deep breaths. It's going to be all right. And then they're like, ooh, there's Joffrey's. Who wants a coffee? Anybody?
And I'm thinking, no. We don't have time. That'll be there later.
I know. And there's no more grab a coffee and walk on through. You got to sit. You got to take off your mask. You got to not move.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I forgot about that. Yeah, you can't even you can't even like chug it down while you're going on your way.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. So by the next day, which I think we went to Magic Kingdom the next day, I put the hammer down and I said, ladies, we are up at 6:30 tomorrow morning. We are walking out this door at 7:30. And we will be there by 8. And I just kind of had to break it down. But they were appreciative that I did because they saw how much more we were able to fit in the next day, you know.
That is something, though. That is something, though, when you go with folks that have they don't know. They just think they're on vacation. You know, what do you do on vacation? Take it easy. Eat a donut. You know, I mean, enjoy the environment. No, the lines are building. No,
right.
But it was good that you gave them that first day to kind of have that experience. And then day two, you're like, okay. Let me show you how this is done. Ready?
It's done.
I like it.
And I did, you know, I did say to them, I said, we're going to get up early. We're going to walk fast. We're going to knock these things out. But then I promise we're going to take time. And we did. And it was like we had a very laid back lunch at Pinocchio's, sat by the window, waved to everybody on Small World. A little bit later, we walked over to the plaza. We had drinks and we would sit there with our drinks. And then when a cavalcade would go by, we'd jump up and run out there and get a video of Santa Claus or whoever it was and then come back to the table. And so we did have that afternoon, which was so nice just to sit and relax. And then the crowd started thinning out again, and we went back and, you know, did Space Mountain and all the fun stuff.
That's cool. Now, let me ask you about the crowd you mentioned, because we were there at the two same times since reopening. I was there at the beginning of August, and I was there that same time you were in December. Now, the crowds, obviously, and we saw this over the Christmas holiday, too, that, I mean, that's the busiest week of the year under normal circumstances. But, I mean, the crowds are building. I think people are tired of sitting at home. I think people are getting a little bit more comfortable with travel. What did you think? Like, what was your perspective? Because you'd been there a second time since reopening. I mean, August was still a ghost town. December, not so much, but still manageable, in my opinion. So what were your thoughts?
I think I will say it felt crowded in December, maybe just because I had been spoiled in August. It felt crowded. But then when I came home and started looking at our photo album from January, I was like, oh, no, it wasn't crowded. You know, you forget. But it wasn't ever, I didn't ever feel unsafe or claustrophobic, too many people or anything like that. And we were able to get all of our dining reservations. We were able to do our mobile orders, all of that. We were on Splash Mountain within minutes. Now, granted, it was because it was like 40 degrees that day and no one else wanted to ride.
That helps.
I would say the average wait at the height of each day was maybe about 40 minutes.
And I think too, the thing to remember for folks traveling maybe here in January and in February is that I think the crowds will be more, obviously they won't be what they were at the end of December. But the thing is, if you're going down for the first time since the reopening, since last summer, if you're an experienced traveler, when you see those lines, they can be shocking. Like, for example, if you go to the studios, you want to ride Slinky Dog. You may be getting in line at the Voyage Little Mermaid and going through that queue, and you're just like, holy cow, I'm not even in the same land. You know, and we rode, it was Rise of the Resistance. You know, we thought, oh, our boarding group's up, we're going to ride right now. No, we still waited in line an hour, and we went backstage. We went everywhere. You know, we went behind a dumpster. But the thing is, it's social distancing, so things look worse than they are. So don't, you know, I think that's the biggest lesson I'll throw out there for anybody that's heading down soon. Don't freak out. You know, the lines will look long, but a lot of times the actual wait time is less than the posted time by quite a bit. I notice that a lot. Both.
I agree.
Yeah.
The big rides, like I said, average was maybe 40 minutes, and that was only at the height of the day. Early morning, later in the afternoon, you were good. One other thing I was going to tell you from our Magic Kingdom day was we decided to not make a dining reservation that night. It was closing at 8. So we figured, let's just leave like 7:30, miss the crowds, and we'll get something when we get back to the hotel. Well, we get back, get in our rooms at Caribbean Beach. Because of COVID, there's no room service, mm-hmm. and they had even said no pizza deliveries. And so we were like, oh my gosh, I don't want to leave this room again. I'm so tired. And it was kind of hard figuring out what to do. But luckily, we did call for a pizza delivery and they came. I don't know if we just lucked out or they weren't supposed to do it. I'm not sure. But that is a heads up for people that there's nothing coming to your room right now. So
yeah.
Stop at the lobby before you head in.
That's a good point, especially if you're a little far out. You know, you want to make sure that you have what you need and get back to your that huge great point. Now, let me ask you too about your Epcot day, because I would think Epcot would be so much fun for four friends to go really enjoy the countries, and especially when it's not crowded. What do you remember from that day?
You're right. It was totally different than any other time I'd been to Epcot. We did Topolino's for breakfast. We did a little character breakfast, which was really cute. And sour cream waffles were the best things I've ever eaten, I think.
I can't imagine. That sounds so good. It sounds kind of weird, but it actually sounds kind of good too. So, yeah.
Oh, it's delicious. Delicious. So we got to Epcot. It opened at noon, but we didn't get there till maybe 12:30-ish. At that point, we did have to wait for Test Track. We didn't wait too long for Soarin'. We ended up not riding Frozen at all because it was so long. And again, for adults, they were kind of like, eh, I don't care if I miss it. But then we just did the eating and drinking around the world. We did the cookie stroll where we got our 6 cookies and then got our free one. And I feel like this trip finally gave me an appreciation of World Showcase. I never got it before this, and going with adults, I got it. It was fun. It wasn't kids whining, why aren't we on the rides? And it just, you know, we found Katsura Grill had that nice little patio next to it, and they had heaters out there. It was a really cold day, and we sat next to the heaters and just enjoyed the atmosphere and enjoyed the sights and sounds. And I just feel like I had never previously really gotten to do that.
So now, were you guys reaching out to your families and sharing pictures and videos, or was it something like you were just, it was a quick little getaway with friends? I mean, how connected were you guys outside of just hanging out together? Were you, you know, calling back home, FaceTiming? I mean, what was that like?
It's funny you ask that. I'd usually text them throughout the day. The only time we FaceTimed, my daughter, she's the one who's 15. We both love the Grand Fiesta Tour in Mexico. And she said, Mom, if you do not FaceTime me so we can sing the Three Caballeros, I'm going to be really mad.
That's sweet. I love it. That's so cool.
So it was our last night of the ride at Epcot. And it was, we probably had 10 minutes left before park closed, jumped on the boat and I'd FaceTimed her and she was happy as a lark.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I mean, I love that it's such an obscure attraction too. Like, cause it's the perfect one to do something like FaceTime. You know, at least her favorite ride isn't like, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster. That'd be a little different. Right. You know,
so. Well, and my three friends were probably thinking of all the rides, yes. This is what she wanted to.
I love it. Yeah. It's like, hey, she's going to be a Spanish major in college.
Right.
That's what I'd make up some kind of story. All right. Let me ask you, though, about the studios. Now, did you guys attempt? Did you get on Rise? Was it something that was not on your list? Because I got to ask. Everybody always wants to know.
Oh, I didn't really give them an option. We were trying for Rise, for sure. So I made everybody get up at like 6:45. We all sat on our beds with our phones and did get a boarding pass right at 7:00. I think it was like number 15.
Wow.
And so then this was great. They all said, can we go back to bed? And I was like, well, the park opens at 10, which means we should get there at 9. Oh, so we should really leave here in an hour. I know you're going to be shocked. I went to Hollywood Studios by myself that morning.
Well, no, you know what? Your friends need to go with Ricky. You need to send Ricky with them because she goes back to bed after getting her boarding group. And, you know, like you're like me. I'll see you at the park. I'll see you there.
Yes, exactly. But they, you know, we said no hard feelings. You go back to bed. I'm going to go on to the park. There's a picture of me on Slinky Dog by myself, screaming my head off. First ride of the day. It was great. It was great.
You can sleep when you get home. I'm going to have fun. Yeah, totally.
Right. And so then they showed up probably around 11-ish. The downfall was Rise kept breaking down that day. So we didn't even get on. I mean, we were boarding past 15. I bet we didn't get on till 2 or 3. And then it broke down while we were on it. So it kind of stunk because, you know, you're so hyped up and you're so immersed in the story. Right. And then it's like, wah, wah, lights come on, walk you off, you know. But, you know, good news. They did give us a pass to come back and we did get to finish it. And they loved it. So I'm glad we did it.
That's good. Yeah. The first time I did it, it broke down too. Kylo Ren just kept coming at me and leaving. Until like Kylo Ren doesn't keep coming at me anymore. So yeah, it was strange. If I got, you know, I looked at it that way. Cause back then this was like, you know, when it first opened that I was like, I got to do it 1.5 times for that boarding group.
Yeah,
you know, like,
that's true. That's true. And I will say, you know, I had lucked out since I had ridden it previously, but I did kind of feel bad for them that it broke down in the middle. But I still think they loved it. I think our highlight from Hollywood Studios Day was Oga's Cantina. We had made a reservation for about 2:00. And our waitress was so fun and kept suggesting, you know, the fun drinks for us. And you know, you can only be there. I think it's a max of 45 minutes, but it was so much fun and just such a cool atmosphere. And we loved it.
So now are you guys into all the holiday decorations and stuff like that? Because I think to me and a lot of people, you know, I hear this a lot that the studios really blows it out of the water when it comes to that aesthetic as far as the Christmas decorations. Do you guys think the same?
Hands down, yes. I think we had more scenic pictures from Hollywood Studios than any of the other parks. It was really, really decorated, you know, the streets, lining the streets, going down Sunset and all that. It was great.
So did you guys get to do much more that day at the studios other than Rise? I mean, I know Rise kind of dominates your day though, right? Because you're always watching the boarding group numbers. You're trying, do I have time to do this? Do you guys get to do Mickey and Minnie's or Slinky Dog? They get to do that later?
Well, they did not get to do Slinky Dog. You know, it was my first ride of the day by myself, solo ride.
By the time they
got there, it was up to about 40 minutes. Most of the day. So we opted out of that, but we did ride Toy Story Mania 4 times.
Nice.
4 times. I mean, no ride for that or no wait for that. And we did pretty much, I think, everything else. So it was a great day. And, you know, having the Skyliner to ride back home that night, it was perfect.
That's it. I mean, you're right. I mean, that's the joy of being on the Skyliner, whether it's Art of Animation, Pop Century, but especially Caribbean Beach and the Riviera, is that if you're at those two resorts, I mean, you are directly right there. Like, you have to make that one extra hop over to Pop and Art, which isn't a big deal. I mean, I stay there all the time. But, but I stayed at Caribbean Beach last night. I loved that I didn't have to even make one extra hop. Man, I was, boom, I was just right back to my room, and it was just glorious. So any other highlights from that trip? Maybe lessons learned from traveling with friends other than family?
Definitely, like I said, just kind of keeping your expectations low and knowing that if they want to look at the flamingos at Animal Kingdom for 20 minutes, just let them look at the flamingos, you know. but I will say the last morning they flew out, I think around 10 a.m. and I had driven. And so I stayed until about 6 o'clock that night. And I had mentioned earlier, I kind of resort hopped. I looked at all the trees. I had food everywhere. I got to go to Olivia's. I've heard you talk about it so much. I was like, I got to do it.
Favorite place.
Got the buttermilk chicken. I think the waiter did not have confidence in me for that plate, but I showed him how it was done. Yeah. Ate the whole thing.
That's it. It's probably my favorite dish at my favorite restaurant. And I know it's not going to really stand out for a lot of people, this restaurant, Olivia's, but it's my kind of place. Like, it's homey. It feels like the serving staff has been there forever. When you walk in, it's just like, oh, you're sitting down in somebody's kitchen, and it's comfort food. You know, it's like, to me, it's like Cracker Barrel, and you can't get better than Cracker Barrel in my world.
Right, right. It really was neat. And I had, I'd never been to Old Key West before, so that was nice. I'd never been to Animal Kingdom Lodge. I drove over there, and that tree, I mean, it almost brings tears to your eyes when you walk in and see that thing. It's just beautiful.
It is. All right. So we are running a little long. So I want to ask you this, though. So looking forward, now that we're in 2021, we don't know what this year is going to unfold. Like, we're very optimistic. We think things are moving in the right direction. I think we're going to be, seeing a lot of improvement as we, progress here in the coming months. But, what are your preliminary plans for 2021? You're going to take the kids back down, go with the family, any other friend trips? What do you ideally hope to get out of 2021 as far as your trips?
I'm scared to bring it up. I went 3 times in 2020. My husband's going to disown me. I don't know. I mean, if it were up to me.
Hypothetical. Here we go.
I know. Hypothetically, I would love to go again this year with my sister and my daughter. We did a girls' trip with the three of us in January, and we're all in the same wavelength. We all like doing the same things, and it's just always kind of fallen back into that routine. So I'd love to do that again if time allots. I won't bring it up quite yet.
Yeah, just to give it a little time. There's a discount out there. I really can't afford not to go.
I know.
That's how I always approach my wife. I'm like, I really should take Mallory. She's been really good, she got a really good report card, and she's been working hard, not that I want to go, but that works out well. No, I love it though. And so if people want to check you out, I know are you on social media somewhere? Because I want to ask folks, I've been terrible about that in the past. But here in 2021, I want to make sure that if folks want to reach out and maybe ask you questions or check out all the stuff you do online. So where can people find you?
I am on Instagram. It's just Rachel Hoeing. And unfortunately, I did not post any pictures from our trip because I have an aunt who would have gone into cardiac arrest had she known I was at Walt Disney World in the middle of a pandemic.
I get it.
So...
I get a lot of folks back home like, wait, you were doing what? I'm like, this is my job. This is what I do full time now. I am down there. I am safe. I am going to make, I'll be honest. Like, I flew back I was down, December 5th, we had the special event at Give Kids the World. I came home on the 6th and that plane was, Southwest wasn't booking the middle seats, but they were starting on December 1st and the plane was full except for, I think, 20 seats. And people were elbow to elbow, but I survived. Not that I would, want people to get out there and do that on purpose. But I think that you just got to have your comfort level. Of course, I'm not in like a high risk group either. So you just got to watch who you're traveling with. And the thing is, if you're comfortable, go. If you're not, just hold off. I think things are going to get better here soon. So real quick, as we close out, what advice would you give? Because your aunt would freak out. What would you tell folks? Because you've been twice since the reopening. You said you felt very comfortable. Obviously, it sounds like you would do it again and you felt safe.
I truly would. And two of the women in my group were nurses and 100% said we feel like we would do this again in a heartbeat. It really was. I felt perfectly safe and a lot of fun.
All right. Well, Rachel, I sure appreciate you taking the time to share these trips. I'm with your son, though. I would have slept on the floor, and I also would have gone back and just met you for dinner. So tell him I approve of his touring plans. There's nothing different I would have done at his age. And it's just great to have you on the show. Thanks for taking us on that ride down from North Carolina to Florida. That still cracks me up that you did that. And Happy New Year. Let's make 2021 awesome. But thanks so much for starting the week with us here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Don't forget today's show, as always, brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. We talked about Jocelyn. She's one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less. Me too. We have a lot of other great agents. Ben, my good buddy that runs on the Lizards. You can check them out over at themagicforless.com. Right now, great specials out there. We have the early 2021 room special, and now we also have a special with some non-discounted packages through actually into the fall. This is a long discount for Disney, where if you buy a package that has 3 days worth of tickets, 4 nights, hotel stay, you get 2 days free in the parks. Hey, 2 more days in the parks? You kidding me? That's a lot. Think how many times you could ride Rise twice and you could ride Slinky Dog 17 times. Well, probably not Slinky Dog. Maybe Toy Story Mania. 17 times, maybe. Who knows? We can do whatever you want. But check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Fill out that quote while you're there. If you mention the show, you and I are going to be planning that trip together. So mention the Be Our Guest podcast. Check them out, themagicforless.com. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon affiliate link, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your, you know, same Prime benefits, all that good stuff. It's just one extra click. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a shout out to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. If you'd like some extra content in your week, like Mike in the Midwest, just go over to Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Where can you find us on the social media? Funny you should ask. We're at BeOurGuestMike on Instagram and Twitter. Also, BeOurGuestPod. Ricky runs that account. And you can find us on Facebook and YouTube to search for the Be Our Guest podcast. All right, time to get out of here and get back settling back into normal, whatever normal is. But it's almost getting back to normal. At least there's not Christmas trees up and we're not counting things down at this point. So let's get back to a normal work week or hopefully school week for you guys. So until we talk again on Wednesday, for Rachel, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.